It's a Michiana tradition.
A tradition unlike any other.
Now in the morning.
Their time is done. It's over.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Welcome to Sports Beat AM.
Go crazy, folks. Go crazy.
With Darren Pritchett.
It's a lot. I hit the 7-iron like John Daly hits the 3.
On Sports Radio 960 AM, WSBT.
Goodbye, baby! At the 50, the 40, the 30, the 20, the 10. Bye-bye, rocket touchdown, Irish!
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Sports Beat AM on your home of the Fighting Irish, Sports Radio 960 WSBT. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, November the 15th of 2021. Well, Sports Beat AM is on the air for the next 3 hours here on WSBT Radio. We're talking all things local sports. Football, basketball, hockey, all of Notre Dame's squads were in action this weekend. A complete recap on the way. The Colts also picked up a divisional win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Plenty to get to on this Victory Monday on Sports Beat AM. The 6 o'clock hour is presented by Mimo's Pizza on Edison in Mishawaka. The best pizza in the state, Manja Manja, by Midland Engineering Company, completing their first century of quality roofing experience, and by Barnaby's of Mishawaka and Granger, serving Michiana's most favorite pizza for both dine-in and carry-out. If you're listening to us at WSBTRadio.com or on the WSBT Radio app and you're outside of our area, we've got some snow on the ground here in South Bend leading into the final home game of the season for the Fighting Irish football team. They will take on the Ramblin' Wreck of Georgia Tech. That is Saturday at 2:30 here on WSBT Radio. The roads are a little slick this morning as we have some roads that have some slush and snow cover on them. So just a little winter wonderland here in South Bend on this Monday, November the 15th of 2021.
Sports Beat AM presents What You Missed While You Were Sleeping.
Touchdown, Notre Dame! Take it 76 yards!
Whoa! Drive, way back! It might be! It could be! It is!
Wesley quickly into the front court.
Yes!
On Sports Radio 960 AM, WSBT.
Plenty to get to. We start with Notre Dame football. The Fighting Irish face the Virginia Cavaliers Saturday night in Charlottesville. The Irish favored by 8.5 points, and Notre Dame caught a huge break as the orchestrator of the nation's top offense, quarterback Brennan Armstrong, did not play due to a rib injury. So freshman quarterback Jay Wolfolk got the start for the Cavaliers. Wolfolk went 18 of 32 for 196 yards. He was picked off twice, and he was sacked 7 times.
Wolfolk drops back to pass, stands in the pocket, in trouble and sacked on the 40-yard line. Riley Mills, the sophomore defensive tackle out of Lake Forest, Illinois, escaped and captured Wolfolk and dropped him for a loss of 10.
Mills would record 2 of the 7 Irish sacks as he moved from interior defensive lineman to defensive end in this game, replacing Myron Tagamosa, who had a fever of 101 before the game Saturday night. So a really outstanding performance by Mills. Virginia finished with only 278 yards from scrimmage behind their freshman quarterback. With Armstrong as the quarterback, Virginia, the number one total offense, they entered Saturday averaging 542 yards per game. Well, the Fighting Irish were able to get on the board in the first quarter thanks to their passing attack.
Cone takes a snap, going to pass, looking to the end zone, fires. Michael Mayer at the goal line, across the pylon, touchdown Notre Dame. 6 yards on the quick out to the right of Jack Cone. put it right on Michael Mayer, and he snuck in just before he was going to hit that front pylon. 6-0 Fighting Irish, 4:53 left in the first quarter.
It had been a while since Mayer had found the end zone. Targeted 7 times, 7 catches for the sophomore tight end, 84 receiving yards, and that touchdown. Quarterback Jack Cohn had 2 touchdown strikes on a night in which he completed 15 of 20 passes for 132 yards. He was picked off, but he was not sacked in the contest. Another good performance by the Irish offensive line and everybody involved in pass protection. Running back Kyron Williams stole the show in the second quarter with Notre Dame in front by a score of 14-0. Williams just was like a New York City taxi driver during rush hour traffic, just weaving, dodging, and found his way into the end zone from 22 yards out. Williams posted 70 of Notre Dame's 249 rushing yards. That put the Irish in front 21-0. They would win over Virginia 28-3. Fighting Irish head coach Brian Kelly on the victory.
All right, guys are excited about the victory. You know, we had a lot of things that we had to overcome. Injuries, illness, playing on the road at night is not easy. And, another team that had the week off. But our guys have been terrific. They had a mindset that with all that, that this was the challenge that they wanted. They took this and took it as a challenge, and that they were going to have, and they thought right about it. They didn't think about it in the sense of, wow, why all this? They took it as, you know what? We're going to play our best football. We're going to play together. And they did some really good things tonight. So really proud of them. To get a victory on the road this late in the season and to have some individuals step up and play their best football was even more impressive. So.
Well, the Irish are now 9-1, 2 games left in the regular season. Home finale this Saturday, 2:30 kickoff. Notre Dame will take on 3-7. Georgia Tech, the Yellow Jackets, have lost 4 consecutive games. On Saturday, Georgia Tech lost to Boston College 41-30. Former Irish quarterback Phil Jurkovec went nuts for Boston College. He accounted for 5 touchdowns of the game. Jurkovec had 3 rushing touchdowns. And he threw for 2 more as the Eagles beat Georgia Tech by 11. To the National Football League, the Colts and the Jaguars met in an AFC South showdown at Lucas Oil Stadium in downtown Indianapolis.
Almost blocked, and it is. It's a blocked punt picked up by the Colts around the 10-yard line. It's a scrum for it. The Colts pick it up at the 5-yard line with EJ Speed. He's lumbering towards the pylon. No signal yet. Waiting on it. It's a touchdown to the Colts. A blocked punt picked up by EJ Speed, and he lumbered across the goal line. Touchdown, INDY on special teams.
Colts got off to a fast start in this contest, and they held on to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 23-17. The Colts forced a fumble of quarterback Trevor Lawrence near midfield in the closing moments of that ball game. Colts recovered the fumble, and they close out the 6-point win over Jacksonville. So the Colts, who got off to a 1-4 start, are now back to .500. Indianapolis is 5-5 at a tough task ahead of them this Sunday as Indianapolis returns to the site of their playoff loss last year. They'll take on the Buffalo Bills Sunday, 1 o'clock kick on our sister station, 96.1 The Ton. Also in the National Football League, our first tie of the season, and the Detroit Lions, well, at least they got a tie on the board. Detroit is now 0-8-1. They played to a 16-16 tie in Pittsburgh against the Steelers. Pittsburgh did not have the services of their starting quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, placed on the COVID list. Jared Goff, just not an NFL starting quarterback. 14 of 25 for 114 yards. Just can't throw the ball down the field. Can't push the offense down the field, force the defense to worry about the deep ball. DeAndre Swift, 33 carries for Detroit, 130 rushing yards, and three catches. So the Lions will look to build off this tie. They go to Cleveland to take on a Browns team that got beat up by the New England Patriots in Foxborough on Saturday. Lions at Browns Sunday at 1 o'clock. Notre Dame basketball is 1-0 after winning their opener against Cal State Northridge Saturday at Purcell Pavilion, 68-52.
Prentice up, brings it into the front court, right side, swings it to Wesley, gets the ball, and triggers a three, then he sticks on the floor for just 5 seconds, and the freshman has his first career basket here at Purcell Pavilion. Irish lead 8-4 thanks to the Wesley three. Wesley quickly into the front court, swings it into the right corner for Cormac Ryan, back for Goodwin, left side Wesley, doesn't hesitate, fires it up, and it's in. Blake Wesley, red hot. In his debut as a collegiate basketball player, has 11 points in 11 minutes off the bench for the Irish. 30-21, he's got three triples.
And Wesley would finish the ball game with a Notre Dame high 21 points in 24 minutes off the Irish bench. Wesley hit 7 of 10 shots, including 4 out of 6 from the three-point line. Dane Goodwin in the starting lineup scored 18 for the Fighting Irish. Well, Notre Dame is back in action tomorrow night. It'll be Notre Dame hosting High Point. That's an 8 o'clock tip tomorrow night on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Then after that, Notre Dame off to Las Vegas for the Maui Invitational. Notre Dame women's basketball cruise to an 82-56 win over Syracuse at the Carrier Dome yesterday. That ball game was live on Live 99.9. My colleague Sean Stiers had the call after the game, caught up with Notre Dame assistant coach Coquise Washington.
Well, then, as the game starts, Maddie Westbelt gets off to a fast start. She scores 6 points almost right away, but then boom, boom, a couple of fouls, and then Dodson picks up. Was it kind of hard to get into a little bit of a flow early on?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you've got two of your best rebounders and two of your top scorers, sitting on the bench with foul trouble. I think what we saw when that happened is Syracuse was able to get a lot of offensive rebounds and stick around and stay close. And so we really tried to emphasize with the team that we had to box out because Styles is a monster on the glass. And Ebony Walker, when she comes in the game, she's right. A really good offensive rebounder. So them with Maddie and Maya being on the bench, their offensive rebounds, you know, really open things up for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Coquise Washington, Notre Dame assistant with us after Notre Dame's 82-56 victory over Syracuse. And a couple freshmen who have obviously been very prominent for you so far, the two freshman cards, Olivia Miles and Sonia Citron. Tell me what they're like to work with.
Well, they're sponges, number one. You know, they're so open to what we have to do. You know, it's interesting because Sonia is kind of she's a hippie, you know. She's just playing, you know. She's just going with the flow. Nothing bothers her. Nothing really ruffles her feathers. And Olivia is a little bit more of a thinker, and, you know, she's a point guard, and so she's, you know, sometimes, you know, like, Liv, just quit thinking about the press. Just break it and
right.
play. So, but they're really, really, they bring so much to the table in terms of talent, gives us some depth and versatility. We're able to play a lot of different lineups. And as they get more experienced and more comfortable, you know, the sky's the limit for both of them.
Well, and last year we saw so many leads slip away mm-hmm. in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Today was the complete opposite
yeah.
of that. You close the game on a 21-0 run, and those two players, I mean, for freshmen, they play a big part in just kind of how you're able to handle the ball and do some of those things.
Absolutely. And they play with a lot of confidence. And that's the thing that that's really refreshing, to have two freshmen can be on the floor at the end of the game on the road in conference
right.
and play with a lot of confidence and make the right reads and make the right plays. That's quite a bonus for us to have as a coaching staff.
That was Coquise Washington, Notre Dame assistant coach, following Notre Dame's 82-56 win over Syracuse. Up next for Notre Dame, back to non-conference play Thursday night, 7 o'clock against Fordham. to the NBA. Very nice win for the Bulls on the road in L.A., knocking off the Clippers 100-90. DeMar DeRozan, 35 points for the Bulls on 12 of 16 shooting. Zach LaVine, had 29 points. NBA tonight, Detroit hosting Sacramento at 7 o'clock. The Pacers in Gotham to take on the Knicks at 7:30. A 10:30 tip out in L.A., Bulls and Lakers. NHL tonight at 7 o'clock, the Red Wings will visit the Columbus Blue Jackets. Notre Dame hockey swept a two-game home Big Ten series from Wisconsin last weekend.
Lieberman, high slot, down low, Sililov, he shoots, he scores! Sililov got the puck at the near side post. 3 feet from the goal, drug the puck to the forehand, and he rips it over the top of the goaltender, Cameron Rowe. Another power play goal for Notre Dame. 1-0 Irish, 12:34 to go in the first.
That was the first goal and the game-winning goal from Saturday's 3-0 win over Wisconsin. The Irish beat Wisconsin Friday 5-1 behind two goals from Max Ellis. Notre Dame had three power play goals over their first nine games. They had three power play goals this weekend against Wisconsin. And Friday, Matthew Galita, the Notre Dame goaltender, posted his 22nd career shutout. That is now tied for third most in Division I college hockey history. And congratulations to the Notre Dame men's soccer team. They won the ACC championship by defeating Duke yesterday 2-0. Those are some of the things you might have missed while you were sleeping. It is 6:22. I'm Darren Pritchett. You're listening to Sports Beat AM on Sports Radio 960 WSBT, streaming live at WSBTRadio.com and on the WSBT Radio app.
Show me the money.
We go with Sizzler. We go with Sizzler.
It's time to talk sports wagering on Sports Beat AM. 6:26 on this Monday morning. My name is Darren Pritchett. Well, at least we closed the week strong with three good wagers from Friday's program. On Friday, before the Irish football team plays, we focus on Notre Dame football and some of the odds surrounding them. So here's what we came up with on Friday. Again, this was not knowing if Brennan Armstrong was going to play for Virginia at quarterback. It obviously affected the first two wagers, but I went ahead and went with the Irish thinking, even if Armstrong plays, I think these numbers were still good for the Irish. And Notre Dame was -5 as of Friday when I made the wager at -110. Ended up being 8.5 at kickoff, and Notre Dame easily covered the spread. Notre Dame won by 25, 28-3. So that was a comfortable victory. I also had Notre Dame at halftime, -3 at -110. Another easy win. The Irish were up 21-0 at the intermission. Now, the third wager depended on if Armstrong was going to play or not, and I was going to go over if Armstrong played, under if they decided to go a different direction. Armstrong did not play. The freshman Wolfolk got the start. So under 64.5 points, another easy win. Just 31 points of the game. I actually thought Notre Dame would score a lot more points than they did, but they didn't need them. Won by 25 and easy, 28-3 win, 31 total points in the contest. So 3-0 on Friday, got back to close to the 500 mark at 7-8 for the month of November, now 14-13, and for the season, 129, 112, and 4. Well, I've already made two of my three wagers for tonight. I have not decided on a third as of yet, waiting for a couple more lines to be established, so let me go ahead and go with the two that I have so far. Both involve Monday Night Football, and San Francisco has dominated the Rams as of late. Kyle Shanahan apparently has the potion against Sean McVay, but I'm not going to let that affect me. You look at the way these two football teams are playing right now. Now, the Rams are coming off a disappointing loss at home to Tennessee. 49ers can't win at home. They've not been overly great this year. Quarterback injuries have held them back a tad bit. Mike McGlinchey, the old Irish offensive lineman, is lost for the season with an injury. I'm going to go, even though the Rams have not played well against San Francisco, I'll lay the 3.5 and take the Rams at San Francisco. We get that at minus 110. My second wager for tonight's action, it is going to be the Rams and 49ers under 50 total points at minus 110. You can hear the Rams and the 49ers tonight, 8:20 kickoff on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. I'm working on a third wager as the program goes on and a couple of more lines are established. We'll announce that third wager for today's We Go Into Sizzler segment on Sports Beat AM. All right, so good night for the Irish Saturday night. We'll continue to focus on that victory coming up. We'll spend some time talking about the Irish defense. Second straight game, they have not given up a touchdown. We'll dig into some of the defensive numbers from the ball game in just a couple of moments. And also before the top of the hour, we will hand out Notre Dame game balls from the victory over Virginia. This is Sports Beat AM on your home of the Fighting Irish, Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
Welcome to Sports Beat AM with Darren Pritchett on Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT.
And welcome back to Sports Beat AM on WSBT Radio. Darren Pritchett with you. We're being brought to you by Mimo's Pizza, Midland Engineering Company, and Barnaby's of Mishawaka and Granger. It is 6:37 on this Monday morning. It is a victory Monday following Notre Dame's 28-3 victory over the Virginia Cavaliers Saturday night.
First down and 10 now for Jay Wolfolk, the freshman quarterback in the shotgun. Takes the snap. Notre Dame rushes four. He drops back off his back foot, lifts one down the near sideline, takes a deep shot. Ramon Henderson intercepts it. His first career interception on the 15-yard line. On the go route that was overthrown, Ramon came over, skied for it, and gives Notre Dame its 18th takeaway of the season.
Well, a lot of different contributors on the defensive side of the football, helping to keep Virginia out of the end zone as the Irish beat Virginia 28-3. Hey, we can't hide the major story from this game. Virginia did not have the services of quarterback Brennan Armstrong, apparently warmed up for 10 minutes, coming off apparently a rib injury suffered 2 weeks ago against Brigham Young University, and did not go, which meant freshman Jay Wolfolk would get the start. Now, if this was an ACC conference game, does he play? Possibly. Can't say that for sure. But for Virginia, they have a chance to make the ACC championship game if they win their division. So maybe if Armstrong was well enough to go, and if this game affected the standings, maybe he goes. But it's a non-conference game. It's not like they're going to the playoffs. So if it was about holding him back for a more important game, I totally understand that. They would like to get to the ACC championship game. So they held him out, or he couldn't go, whichever the case may be. And Jay Wolfolk got the start. And as I mentioned on Friday, if Armstrong was not going to play, Virginia had no shot in this football game. And that's no disrespect to the freshman quarterback, but that is a big drop-off in the caliber of play, because Armstrong was the leader of this offense that entered Saturday, number one in the country in total offense at 542 yards per game. And Virginia didn't even come close to that particular number against the Fighting Irish Saturday night, 278 yards from scrimmage. Wolfolk, 16 rushes, 15 yards. Now keep in mind that number skewed a bit because sacks go against the rushing numbers in college. 7 sacks for minus 34 yards. The freshman quarterback went 18 of 33 throwing the football for 196 yards, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Notre Dame was shorthanded in this game. They played without starting defensive end Myron Tagamosa and Mike linebacker Drew White, but the Irish had some pretty good performances with those guys on the bench. But here was Brian Kelly after the game talking about an illness that went through the Fighting Irish football team this week, affecting Tagamosa, White, and others.
Not until game time. They tried. We gave out 10 flu tests, you know, which prompted a COVID test as well. And nobody had COVID, but, you know, when you do a flu test, you have to do COVID testing. And so it was a difficult week for us. So we had a number of guys in our life, and I will tell you, there were some guys in there not feeling, you know, 100% that played tonight as well. Drew had 103 temperature yesterday, got it down. Myron was 101 in pregame, and we were just not going to, you know, put him in that kind of situation. Nana was sick most of the week. He answered the bell. Ramon was sick. He answered the bell. I could go on and on. We had, like I said, during the week, we had upwards of 13 players in and out of practice during the weekend. They hung together. They kept fighting. Rob Hunt, Dr. Leisler did an incredible job of getting this football team back on the field.
No question about that. But the replacements, again, played pretty doggone well. With Tagamosa down, Riley Mills moved from the interior defensive line to the defensive end position. And boy, he had quite a night.
Wolf Folk drops back to pass, stands in the pocket, in trouble and sacked on the 40-yard line. Riley Mills, the sophomore defensive tackle out of Lake Forest, Illinois, escaped and captured Wolf Folk and dropped him for a loss of 10.
Well, Fighting Irish head coach Brian Kelly got 4 tackles and 2 sacks out of Mills.
He got the game ball. He got the game ball. Riley Mills was on every kickoff. As you saw, we had him on the kickoff because we wanted to break their double team. And he certainly did that. He caused the penalty, a personal foul, because they couldn't block him. And then, you know, we had the smart idea of moving him to the defensive end today and getting 3 sacks. So, you know, Myron being out, you know, really shorthanded us. So we kicked him out to the end position, and he responds with 3 sacks. So, I don't know if that's good for us or not good for us.
Mills might be staying at defensive end. And officially, Mills was credited with 2 sacks, not 3 sacks. Bo Bauer started at the mic in place of Drew White. He led the Fighting Irish in tackles with 9. He had 4 solo tackles, plus Bauer contributed 1.5 sacks.
Yeah, Bo did some really good things. I mean, he's extremely active. You know, he gets our checks. We had a number of checks when they went into the Wildcat, so we had to get those communicated. But he's extremely active. He's around the football and does a really nice job for us.
And Xavier Watts, who is making the transition from wide receiver to the Rover, that's continuing to go well. Watts got a lot of playing time in this game. 5 tackles for Watts on Saturday against the Virginia Cavaliers.
Yeah, so it's not been 1 week, right? You know, we just don't say, poof, you know, you're ready to go. It's been loading work on him and getting more confidence in his ability to play the position. He's fast. He's long. Plays the ball really well in the air, as we saw tonight. He was an X receiver. It's really been about really confidence and recognition, and he's been showing that, and it's been coming, and it showed itself in a big way tonight.
Nice job by Watts. Ramon Henderson had a sack and an interception in the ball game. A lot of different parts helped out this Irish defense keep the opposition out of the end zone for a second consecutive game. They have given up 9 points over the last 2 games. So good work by the Irish defense. No Brennan Armstrong. That helped. But they did not allow the freshman quarterback to get overly comfortable. They had a couple of drives that were pretty decent, but it never felt like Virginia was going to be a threat in this game offensively with Brennan Armstrong on the sideline. And great work by the Irish defense, having a plan ready to go for Wolf Oak, the possibility of a Wildcat offensive look from Virginia. Notre Dame took away a lot of things from that Virginia offense led by the freshman quarterback. So Notre Dame is now 9-1. Tomorrow night we'll get a new college football playoff ranking. It looks like Notre Dame will move up at least one spot as Oklahoma was number 8. The Irish were number 9 last week. Oklahoma lost to Baylor. The only reason why Notre Dame may not move, if the committee gets rambunctious after Oklahoma State destroyed TCU on Saturday, the Cowboys were number 10 last week. Do they move up Oklahoma State ahead of the Irish? I doubt it, but as we've seen, anything's possible with this particular committee. It is 646 at Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Here comes the My Five question of the day. I need to hand out 5 game balls from Notre Dame's 28-3 victory over Virginia Saturday night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is number 5.
It was actually kind of hard to end up with enough game balls from this game. Number 5 will go with Ramon Henderson. The corner had a sack causing a fumble and also an interception in the game. Good sign for the depth at the cornerback position.
4!
Freshman running back Logan Diggs, 9 carries, 64 yards, and hurtling over a Virginia tackler running down the left sideline in the ballgame. Boy, this freshman looks dynamic. There is a lot of talent in that Notre Dame running back room this year.
Number 3.
A lot of credit to Bo Bauer, enters the starting lineup with Drew White down with an illness. Bauer, team-high 9 tackles, had 4 solos, plus was credited with 1.5 sacks.
Number 2.
I mentioned on Saturday's Game Day Sports Beat show, I know a lot of bracket coverage comes the way of Michael Mayer, the Irish tight end. He just needs more targets. You got to figure out ways to get him the football, out-scheme the opposition, use him in the red zone if possible. 7 targets for Mayer in this game, 7 catches, 84 yards, and a touchdown.
Number 1.
And the number 1 game ball goes to Riley Mills. How about that? Interior defensive lineman who's had a good year. Kick to the outside at defensive end with Tagamosa down with an illness. And Mills comes through with a couple of sacks and 4 tackles. Notre Dame had 7 sacks of Virginia Saturday night. Those are some game balls for the 9-1 Fighting Irish as they take care of Virginia in Charlottesville. 10 minutes in front of the top of the hour at Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
Welcome to Sports Beat AM with Darren Pritchett on Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT.
Five minutes in front of the top of the hour at WSBT Radio. Looking ahead to this week, Notre Dame football hosting Georgia Tech, 2:30 kickoff at the stadium. I know the Irish have sent out some special ticket packages for this game, so it sounds like a decent amount of tickets available for this matchup with the Yellow Jackets. So again, the Irish and Georgia Tech Saturday at 2:30 right here on WSBT Radio. The next Notre Dame men's basketball game tomorrow night versus High Point at Purcell Pavilion. Tony Simeone on the call here on WSBT Radio. Opening tip at 8 o'clock, pregame coverage at 7:30. Irish women's basketball with Sean Stiers on the call on Live 99.9 Thursday night. Notre Dame will host Fordham in non-conference play at 7 o'clock. And the Notre Dame hockey team, this is the premier matchup of the week involving Notre Dame athletics. It is number 15 Notre Dame visiting number 2 Michigan. The Wolverines had 3 of the top 5 draft picks in last summer's NHL draft. All 3 are back with Michigan. So the Wolverines number 2 in the country, the Irish number 15. Always great when these two get together. The road team won all 4 matchups last year. So it'll be Friday from Yost Ice Arena, 7:30 opening faceoff, then Saturday night at 8 o'clock, both games on Z94.3 FM. Would love to be at Yost, but I'll be calling the game from my old basement those 2 nights. So we look forward to the Irish and the Wolverines. Always fun when they get together. So that's what's coming up with Notre Dame sports this week. All 4 of the major sports teams in action. 657 at Sports Radio 960 WSBT. John Hoffman has a Sports Center update coming up next.
Welcome to Sports Beat AM.
I'm catching on the hosel, right?
Yeah, right.
Moving my head.
Yeah. Clearing too early. I'm clearing too late. My sling feels like an unfolding lawn chair.
It's the 7:05 tee time.
The crowd is just on its feet here. He's a Cinderella boy. Tears in his eyes, I guess.
Four, please. Darren Pritchett is now broadcasting.
Oh, wow! In your life have you seen anything like that?
Welcome to Sports Beat AM on Sports Radio 960 AM, WSBT.
Better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Good morning, everyone. This is hour number two of Sports Beat AM on your home of the Fighting Irish, Sports Radio 960 WSBT. We're at the freezing mark, 32 degrees at 7:07 on this Monday morning, November the 15th of 2021. Hope you had a great weekend. And I'm happy you're with me to start your brand new work week right here on WSBT Radio. The 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Mimo's Pizza on Edison in Mishawaka. The best pizza in the state, Manja Manja. Midland Engineering Company, completing their first century of quality roofing experience. And by Fisher's Barbecue and Catering, East McKinley Avenue in Mishawaka. The drive-thru is open Tuesday through Saturday. Just look for the smoke. It's a Victory Monday here on Sports Beat AM on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. We're talking all things Fighting Irish football after their 28-3 win over Virginia Saturday night in Charlottesville. Tyler Horka, Notre Dame football beat reporter, was in Charlottesville covering the game for Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. Tyler will join me live at 8:35 to add his perspective on Notre Dame's 25-point win over Virginia. And now the Irish end the year with a pair of three-win football teams left on the schedule. Georgia Tech at home this Saturday at 2:30, and then next Saturday, a road game against Stanford. Start time not established as of yet. And last weekend, Georgia Tech lost to Boston College. Stanford was upended by Oregon State. The Yellow Jackets have lost four in a row coming to South Bend. Well, it's time to take a look back at Saturday's victory through the eyes and the voice of the Notre Dame radio broadcast team led by Paul Burmeister and the Fighting Irish and the Virginia Cavaliers. The game took a turn early as Brendan Armstrong, the Cavalier quarterback, could not go due to the rib injury. They want him ready to go next week, the big showdown with Pittsburgh, with a spot maybe in the ACC championship on the line for the Cavaliers. So Jay Wolfolk, freshman quarterback, got the start for Virginia. Well, the Fighting Irish wanted to get something going early offensively. Pretty good guy to go to is Kyron Williams.
Tight end to his right is Michael Mayer. Three tight ends in the game. Jack Cohn under center, fourth and two. Hands off up the middle to Kyron Williams. Across the 15 to the 10, cuts back and is wrapped up at the six-yard line.
Wow!
Kyron Williams up the middle off the right side then. Safety Joey Blunt brought him down, but he gains 14 on fourth and two.
That set up, one of the best tight ends in the country to find pay dirt for the first time since September.
Cohn takes a snap, gonna pass, looking to the end zone, fires. Michael Mayer at the goal line, across the pylon, touchdown Notre Dame. 6 yards on the quick out to the right of Jack Cohn. Put it right on Michael Mayer, and he snuck in just before he was gonna hit that front pylon. 6-0 Fighting Irish, 4:53 left in the first quarter.
Too good of a talent not to have a touchdown in the month of October. Good to get Mayer back in the end zone. Michael in the game was targeted 7 times, 7 receptions, 84 yards, and a touchdown, and the Irish grabbed a 7-0 lead on Virginia.
Third down, freshman Wolfolk facing a blitz, standing in trouble, tries to escape up the middle, wrapped up and goes down. Wolfolk sacked at the 21-yard line by Bo Bauer, like he knew we were having a conversation about him. Yeah. Comes up with a sack for a loss of four.
Bauer had a sack and a half, and also a team best 9 tackles, including 4 solos. Bauer got the start due to an illness to linebacker Drew White. As we found out after the game, the Irish had the flu bug going through the team. That's why Drew White and Myron Tagamosa did not go for the Irish defense Saturday night.
On 3rd down and 2, Cone from the shotgun takes the snap. Gives to Diggs off the left side across the 50, 45, 40. Far sideline, jumps over a tackler and is finally pushed out of bounds inside the 30 at the 27-yard line. He leapt over 6'1 cornerback Anthony Johnson for a gain of 26.
That was a heck of a play by the freshman Diggs, who had 9 carries for 64 yards as the Irish put up 249 rushing yards against this porous Cavalier run defense.
Cone from the shotgun. Waits for the snap. There it is. Fakes the run. Now looking, throws. Brayden Lindsey, 10, 5, leaps into the end zone. Touchdown, Notre Dame.
That was a catch by Lindsey. 3 catches, 23 yards, and a touchdown. Also had a big run on an end around of 31 yards. Later on to the ball game, Jonathan Doerr connected on the extra point, and Notre Dame had a 14-0 lead in the second quarter.
Wolfolk runs out to his left, in trouble, ripped down to the ground at the 30-yard line. Soon as he got the ball, he tried to go to his left. Ramon Henderson on a corner blitz came up to get him. Loss of 7. It's 2 players out to the right and to the left. Farrell steps up to the shotgun. Waits for the ball, drops back. It's Wolfolk in the game. Running across the 35, 30, 25, down to the 20-yard line. Looks like he's about 2 yards short of the first down. Penalty markers came out as well.
The fake field goal try does not work out. The penalty was against Virginia, and Notre Dame holds. They still had a 14-0 lead on Virginia. It's time to hear from Kyron Williams once again.
Second down 7, middle of the field. Tyler Buckner from the shotgun. Hands off up the middle to Williams. Bounces out to the right side across the 20. Breaks a tackle, 15. Inside the 10, 5. Lunges to the end zone. And he got there somehow. Kyron Williams stays hot. Up the middle, out to the right, and then do it yourself across the stripe.
Oh, my goodness. Can we see an even better run than Kyron Williams' 91-yard touchdown run? I mean,
yeah, he was weaving around. That was a great run by Kyron. He finds pay dirt. 21-0 Notre Dame in the second quarter. Williams, 14 carries, 70 yards, and a touchdown. Also had 2 receptions for 15 yards. He led the Irish in total yards from scrimmage with 85. Before the second quarter was over, how about a little more fun from the Notre Dame defense?
First down and 10 now for Jay Wolfolk, the freshman quarterback in the shotgun. Takes the snap, Notre Dame rushes 4. He drops back, off his back foot, lifts one down the near sideline, takes a deep shot. Ramon Henderson intercepts it. His first career interception on the 15-yard line. On the go route that was overthrown, Ramon came over, skied for it, and gives Notre Dame its 18th takeaway of the season.
Good work there by Ramon Henderson. Halftime score, Notre Dame 21 and the Virginia Cavaliers nothing. The big plays by the Fighting Irish defense continued into the third quarter.
Ball placed on the Notre Dame 40. Quick flip out to the left side, maybe a double pass. It is a double pass, knocked to the ground. Knocked to the ground by Cam Hart. Dontavian Wicks caught a pass behind the line of scrimmage, wound up to throw it, but Hart knocked it down.
Hart almost picked that off, too. Deflected it, and then
Wolfolk drops back to pass. Stands in the pocket. In trouble and sacked on the 40-yard line. Riley Mills, the sophomore defensive tackle out of Lake Forest, Illinois, escaped and captured Wolfolk and dropped him for a loss of 10.
How about Riley Mills? Normally an interior defensive lineman, shifted to defensive end with Tagamosa out with an illness. 4 tackles and 2 sacks for Riley Mills, who would pick up a game ball from Fighting Irish head coach Brian Kelly, still 21-0 Notre Dame, but not for long.
Cone, the reverse, now back to the left to Braden Lindsey. Across the 40, 50, he's got a chance across the 40. Stiff arm and tackle to the 30-yard line.
Wow.
Reverse to Braden Lindsey from right around the left side, and the speed for 31 yards. Cone waits for the snap. There it is. Drops back against the blitz. Throws to the left side. Into the end zone to Kevin Austin. Did he hang on? Yes, he did. Touchdown, Notre Dame. The perfectly placed fade route from Cone to Austin. 7 yards deep in the far side of the end zone for a 15-yard touchdown.
Kevin Austin with a touchdown catch in a second consecutive game. 3 receptions on 5 targets for Austin, 38 receiving yards, and a touchdown. Jack Cohn fired 3 touchdown passes in the ball game, 15 of 20, 132 yards. He was picked off 1 time, and Virginia recorded no sacks in this ball game. Not the same story for the Notre Dame defense.
He drops back. Here comes another blitz. He stands in trouble, and down he goes. At the 16-yard line, Justin Ademilola got there first, and he celebrates a sack for Isaiah so far. Wolfork, 16 out of 27, drops back again. Pump fake, runs out to his right, in trouble, and is sacked at the 6-yard line.
Clarence Lewis with the sack there.
7 sacks for Notre Dame for minus 34 yards. Virginia averaged 542 yards of total offense entering this ball game, number one in the country, held to 278. Hey, their quarterback didn't play, Brennan Armstrong. That's a major factor. But the Notre Dame coaching staff was prepared for the freshman Wolfolk. The Wildcat, they were set for that if Virginia wanted to use that throughout the night. Really good response by the Notre Dame defensive coaching staff with Armstrong not playing. And Notre Dame closes out Virginia 28-6. The Irish, 38 carries, 249 yards, 6.6 yards per carry with a rushing touchdown by Kyron Williams. Jack Cohn, 15 of 20, 132 yards, 3 touchdowns and a pick. Tyler Buckner, 3 of 4, throwing the football for 42 yards. You take a look at the receivers in the ball game. The tight end Michael Mayer led the way, 7 catches, 84 yards and a score. Kevin Austin, 3 for 38 and a score. Braden Lindsey, 3 for 23 and a score. Out of the backfield, Kyron Williams had 2 catches. Single catches for tight end Mitchell Evans, wide receiver Lorenzo Styles, and backup running back Chris Tyree. Kitian Thompson had the big stat line for Virginia. Targeted 12 times, 9 receptions for 110 yards. Virginia, who couldn't run the ball against Carolina earlier this year, 22 rushes for 24 yards. They had 30 carries against the Irish for 82 yards, 2.7 yards per carry. And Jay Wolfolk, the freshman quarterback, 18 of 32, 196 yards, no touchdowns, intercepted 2 times, and was sacked 7 times. Virginia falls to 6-4, but everything is still in front of the Cavaliers. Armstrong doesn't play against the Irish. You would assume he'd be ready to go for the big, big game against Pittsburgh next week with a division title on the line. So the Cavaliers are 6-4. Notre Dame continues to roll right along. They are now 9-1. 2 games left in the regular season, both games against teams with 3 wins. Home against Georgia Tech Saturday at 2:30 at Stanford in 2 weeks. Start time not established as of yet. Now we sit and wait for the 3rd installment of the college football playoff rankings, which will come out tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. We'll look at last week's playoff rankings and the results of the top 10 teams next as Sports Beat AM continues on your home of the Fighting Irish, Sports Radio 960 WSBT. 25 minutes after 7 o'clock, 32 degrees on this Monday morning. Darren Pritchard with you on Sports Beat AM, live on 960 AM WSBT, streaming live at WSBTRadio.com and on the WSBT Radio app. College football playoff rankings, the new set of rankings, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Let's use last week's rankings, couple them with what happened this weekend to give you a picture of what might be the rankings tomorrow night. We start at the top of the college football playoff rankings and out of the Southeastern Conference, the Georgia Bulldogs. Down early in the second quarter in Knoxville, the Tennessee did not panic. Bulldogs routed the Volunteers 41-17 at Neyland Stadium. Georgia is now 10-0. Number two, Alabama. Down 3-0 early to New Mexico State in Tuscaloosa. And then the Tide rolled, scoring the next 59. Crimson Tide are 9-1. They beat New Mexico State 59-3. The number three team in last week's college football playoff rankings, the Oregon Ducks. They're now 9-1. They fended off Washington State in Eugene 38-24. And number four, Ohio State, took care of the old Boilermakers at the Horseshoe. Ohio State now 9-1 as they cream Purdue 59-31. The number five team last week and the team on the outside looking in for the top four spots in the college football playoff rankings, the Cincinnati Bearcats out of the American Athletic Conference. They won at South Florida 45-28, but Bearcats taking on this weak bowl team. We're up 31-21 after three quarters, and with under 2 minutes to go, it was 38-28 before the Bearcats got a 55-yard touchdown run to seal a 45-28 victory. Number six in last week's rankings from the Big Ten, the Michigan Wolverines. Wolverines got a late touchdown pass from Cade McNamara in Happy Valley. Michigan moves to 9-1. They beat the Nittany Lions of Penn State 21-17. Number seven, Michigan State. Nice bounce back performance after losing at Purdue last Saturday. Sparty moved to 9-1. They defeated pass-happy Maryland in East Lansing 40-21. So the top seven in the college football playoff rankings went 7-0 this weekend. There was one hiccup in the top 10, and it was a big one. Oklahoma fell to 9-1. Coming off a bye, they laid an egg in Waco, losing to the Baylor Bears 27-14, knocking Oklahoma out of the playoff picture. Even if they run the table, it's just hard to imagine they're going to get back in it at this point. The Fighting Irish were number nine entering last weekend. They took care of Virginia 28-3. The Irish are 9-1. And then there's Oklahoma State. I think this is the team to watch in the college football playoff rankings tomorrow night. Oklahoma State just took out the hammer to TCU 63-17. I mention that because TCU last week beat Baylor. Baylor just beat Oklahoma. And knowing the committee is known to do some things that might not be ordinary, not saying it's going to happen, just saying it's a possibility, knowing this committee, if they tie all those strings together, Oklahoma State's 9-1. Do they push Oklahoma State by Notre Dame? I don't think they will, but that's really the only thing in the top 10 that would seem to be possibly out of the ordinary. You would think the top seven stay in place unless the committee drops Cincinnati after another performance against a weak team in the American. Otherwise, it's going to be probably 1-7 holding pat. And if the committee wants to do something, it would seem it might be pushing Oklahoma State ahead of Notre Dame. I don't think it's going to happen, but that's the one move that could happen with this selection committee. We'll find out tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Never a dull moment with the College Football Selection Committee, right? Well, coming up in a couple of moments, we'll spend some time discussing the Irish offense and their performance at Virginia Saturday night. SportsCenter update in 30 seconds on Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
Welcome to SportsBeat AM with Darren Pritchett on Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT.
Cohn from the shotgun. Waits for the snap. There it is. Fakes the run. Now looking, throws. Brayden Lindsey, 10, 5, leaps into the end zone. Touchdown, Notre Dame. Second down, 7, middle of the field. Tyler Buckner from the shotgun. Hands off up the middle to Williams. Bounces out to the right side across the 20. Breaks a tackle, 15, inside the 10, 5, lunges to the end zone. And he got there somehow. Kyren Williams stays hot. Up the middle, out to the right, and then do it yourself across the stripe.
Oh, my goodness. Can we see an even better run than Kyren Williams' 91-yard touchdown run? I mean.
Paul Burmeister with the help of Ryan Harris on the call Saturday night in Charlottesville on the Notre Dame Radio Network, heard on WSBT Radio. Final score, number 9, Notre Dame 28, the Virginia Cavaliers 3. The Irish are 9-1, heading into their home game against Georgia Tech Saturday at 2:30. Hear the game on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Well, for the Irish offense, Saturday night, 62 plays from scrimmage, 423 yards of total offense. We told you last week Virginia's run defense was not very good, not a great tackling team. Probably figured that out on that Kyren Williams touchdown run, which was spectacular in itself. Entering Saturday night, Virginia allowing 219 rushing yards per game. Well, Notre Dame bested that. 38 rushes, 249 yards, 6.6 yards per carry for the Irish offense, and that rushing touchdown by Kyren Williams. 14 rushes, 70 yards. They did not have to overuse Kyren in this football game, which is a great thing when you're in November coming down the stretch with two games left to go. They could rely on guys like Logan Diggs, who had 9 rushes for 64 yards. Lorenzo Styles had a 37-yard run. Chris Tyree, 6 carries for 32. Brayden Lindsey on the end around went for 31 yards. Tyler Buckner, 3 for 10. And Jack Cohn contributed 7 rushing yards on 3 attempts. 249 rushing yards for the Fighting Irish. And Brian Kelly, after the game Saturday night, spent a couple of moments discussing his very exciting freshman running back, Logan Diggs. And Diggs, with those 9 carries, 64 yards, and a pretty good hurdling job of a Virginia tackler.
Yeah, well, he's patient and he's physical, right? He sees the whole – I think one of them, you know, you probably wouldn't even look at it as his best run, because you're going to think about jumping over and hurdling, which, you know, obviously catches your eye. But it was his last run where they sent the corner from the boundary and spiked the defense to the field. He sets the run and he cuts it back for a 7-yard gain. It was a veteran run, and he's going to be a really good back. I mean, I can't wait to get him in the weight room with Coach Bayless. You know, he's already 215 pounds right now. He's strong, and he's going to be a special player.
Ever since he got on the field in the second half of that Virginia Tech game, outside of one game, he has been a factor for this Fighting Irish offense, and 64 rushing yards Saturday night in Virginia. Well, the Irish passing game, 174 passing yards, nothing spectacular, but efficient. The Irish didn't have to be overly explosive on the offensive side of the football, knowing that Virginia was not going to be able to score with their freshman quarterback against the plan put together by Marcus Freeman and executed by the Irish players. So the Irish quarterbacks went 18 of 24, throwing the football for 174 yards. Jack Cohn was 15 of 20 for 132. Three touchdowns. He threw one ball up for grabs down the field. That was intercepted. Tyler Buchner in the game went 3 for 4. 42 yards in the contest. And the leading receiver was Michael Mayer. Good to see Mayer get back in the end zone. Targeted 7 times. The sophomore tight end had 7 catches for 84 yards. And the first touchdown of the ball game to put the Irish in front 7-0 in the first half.
He was targeted. We targeted him. Now, you know, they doubled him, you know, on a couple of throws. We went to Kevin on the touchdown. That was a 3rd down, and they ran in and out coverage on him, doubled him. So our read was to go to Kevin in the one-on-one. Kevin comes up with a great play. But, yeah, he was targeted. We were going to try to get him the ball. Obviously, he makes that great catch over, you know, takes it off the guy's helmet. So that's just the kind of player he is.
Outstanding player, maybe the best tight end in the country. The Irish receivers, when given the football, were opportunistic. Kevin Austin, 3 catches, 38 yards, and a touchdown. Braden Lindsay, 3 receptions, 23 yards, and a score. Also had a 31-yard rush on an end-around. But Lindsay, who has been at times quiet this year, was jotting on the spot for Brian Kelly Saturday night.
Braden Lindsay got a lot of recognition from us. He was gritty tonight. I mean, that was a gritty performance from him as a senior. You know, the reverse, he finished that run strong. The touchdown catch, you know, launching into the end zone, even the PI fighting back for the football. Those are gritty catches. And I use that word in a sense of, you know, you can easily give up on those plays, but he got himself dirty tonight. And that goes a long way to winning football games. And he was a heavy contributor for us.
Well, Lorenzo Styles was targeted 4 times in the game in his first start in the slot in place of Avery Davis, who was lost for the season with a torn ACL. Had 1 catch for 4 yards, but also had those 37 rushing yards. Mitchell Evans, backup tight end, had a catch, as did backup running back Chris Tyree. So for the Fighting Irish, 423 yards of total offense. They put up 28 points against the Cavaliers, and they move on to take on Georgia Tech this Saturday. And the old Yellow Jackets have lost 4 in a row, and their defense was stung by the old Irish quarterback Phil Jurkovec. Last Saturday, Boston College went down to Atlanta, beat Georgia Tech 41-30. Jurkovec accounted for 5 touchdowns in the Eagle win. He rushed for 3 and threw 4-2. So the Jackets are scuffling right now, losing 4 in a row. They are a 3-7 football team, but you look back earlier in the year, they beat North Carolina, so you have to respect them for that, but they are not playing very good football right now. So a chance to end the home schedule with a victory against Georgia Tech Saturday, 2:30 kick on Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
Up, brings it into the front court, right side, swings it to Wesley, gets the ball and triggers a 3, then he sticks on the floor for just 5 seconds, and the freshman has his first career basket here at Purcell Pavilion. Irish lead 8-4 thanks to the Wesley 3. Wesley quickly into the front court, swings it into the right corner for Cormac Ryan, back for Goodwin, left side. Wesley doesn't hesitate, fires it up, and it's in. Blake Wesley, red hot in his debut as a collegiate basketball player, has 11 points in 11 minutes off the bench for the Irish. 30-21, he's got 3 triples.
That was Tony Simeone, the new voice of the Irish men's basketball team. He had the call Saturday on WSBT radio. Notre Dame defeated Cal State Northridge 68-52. The story was South Bend Riley grad Blake Wesley, 21 points coming off the bench in 24 minutes, was the team's leading scorer. 7 of 10 shooting, 4 of 6 from 3, 3 out of 5 from the free throw line, a rebound, an assist, and 2 turnovers. The Irish led by only 6 points at halftime. They outscored Northridge 36-26 in the second half, behind 61% shooting, 13 of 21. Also in the second half, they knocked down 5 of 11 3-point shots. After the victory Saturday afternoon here on WSBT Radio, Tony caught up with Fighting Irish basketball coach Mike Bray.
We are now joined by the head coach, Mike Bray. And coach, congrats on the season opening win. Let's start with the defense. How did you assess the defense today? It seemed like your guys were pretty locked in the whole way.
You know, I think we're making progress on that end of the floor. You're guarding them for long. That's a tough game to – it's tough to get away from this team because you're playing defense for 25 seconds every possession. They're physical. They're throwing it into the post. You know, to keep them in the 50s and kind of methodically get away with them with, I thought, smart offense was – it was good to have – it was a hard game. We needed a hard game. We're going to have a lot of hard games. At halftime, I said – fellas, it's a hard game. This is good for us.
Yeah.
But let's win it.
Blake Wesley, obviously the story. The freshman leads your team in scoring in his debut. What did you take away from his performance? 7-10, really efficient.
You know what I love about him is he didn't have a really good second exhibition. And for him to bounce back and play like he played. Now, you know what helps him? Prentice Hub, Cormac Ryan, Dane Goodwin, Trey Wirtz all help. They're big brothers to him to keep him confident. I thought he kept it pretty simple and pretty safe and made really good plays for us. But, you know, he's an impressive young man, and what you saw this afternoon is what we've been seeing in practice. But to bounce back after a tough one as a freshman, really impressive.
I wanted to actually ask you about Prentice Hub, who didn't have his best offensive performance, but I thought he played great defense for you. You mentioned the leadership, too, he gave you. He was at one point, he had the whiteboard out there, kind of diagramming some stuff for Wesley. What kind of leadership did you get from him today?
I'm really proud of him, and I talked about him and Cormac Ryan today. They really didn't get many open looks, but they didn't force anything, and they guarded and shared the ball and found Dane Goodwin and found Paul Atkinson, and found the freshman who's probably not in the scouting report until Tuesday. Now he will be in the scouting report. And that's a lot of maturity by both of them, especially Prentice, you know, to just run our team and quarterback our team and, you know, some growth there for him.
You talk about how you needed this game. I'm curious, now that you have a regular season game under your belt, just what's going to be the focus and mindset here for the next couple of days as you get set for High Point on Tuesday?
Well, you know, we keep talking about our defense. We've got some clips to show. Where we're putting our chest on people. We were a little more physical, which meant we fouled a little bit more, and that's okay. We have to be a little more physical. We still have to do a better job getting the first miss. I like that we're making people miss that first one, but we're going to have to really get down there and help rebound, help our group rebound the ball. So we'll come back and tune it up, and we've got one more on Tuesday before we head to Maui and Vegas, I hear.
That's right. The Maui Invitational moved to Las Vegas for this year. So besides Wesley with 21, Dane Goodwin in the starting lineup scored 18. Paul Atkinson, the transfer from Yale, 16 points and 6 rebounds. It was discussed Prentice Hub was quiet offensively. In fact, he did not have a point. 0-6 from the field, 0-5 from the three-point line. Cormac Ryan was 1-4 from the field. He scored 4 points. Nate Leshefsky, 2-8 from the field. He scored just 4 points. Notre Dame for the game shot 49% from the field, 11 of 27 from the three-point line, 40.7%, and hit 9 of 14 free throws for 64%. Notre Dame is 1-0. Another non-conference game tomorrow night against High Point. 8 o'clock tip. 7:30 pregame on Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
At KeyBank, we know you've got a lot in your head when it comes to buying a home. You're full of excitement and angst from all the unsolicited advice and tiny fine print. That's why at Key, you can get our best rates, and you're matched with a dedicated loan officer who is with you step by step from application to celebration. We work hard to make your home buying process easier so you can get out of your head and into your new home. KeyBank opens doors. Visit key.com/homeloan. KeyBank is member FDIC, NMLS number 399797, equal housing lender.
7:57 at WSBT, the 7 o'clock hour, brought to you by Mimo's Pizza, Midland Engineering Company, and Fisher's Barbecue and Catering. Next hour, we'll continue to focus on Notre Dame football and their win over Virginia. You'll hear from wide receiver Braden Lindsay. A segment on Notre Dame hockey sweeping Wisconsin at the Compton Family Ice Arena this weekend, setting up a big showdown with number 2 Michigan in Ann Arbor this weekend. And Tyler Horka, beat reporter, for Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. He was in Charlottesville. His take on the Irish win coming up all next hour on Sports Radio 960 WSBT South Bend.
Leading off the 8 a.m. hour on Sports Beat AM.
Don't you guys go anywhere. Plan to put on a hitting display.
The center fielder.
That boy is good.
Number nine.
Nine times.
A Midwest League champion.
Adios! Walk-off home run, Eloy Jimenez.
Who prefers to cheer for the birds on a bat.
Adios! Goodbye, and maybe that's a winner.
Here's Darren Pritchett.
Good morning, everyone. Hour number three already for Sports Beat AM on this Monday morning. It is 32 degrees, a little slushy on the roads here in the South Bend area. Hope you had a great weekend. Sports Beat AM is being brought to you by Fisher's Barbecue and Catering, East McKinley Avenue in Mishawaka. The drive-thru is open Tuesday through Saturday. Just look for the smoke. Midland Engineering Company, completing their first century of quality roofing experience. And by Barnaby's of Mishawaka and Granger, serving Michiana's most favorite pizza for both dine-in and carry-out. 8:08 is your time. Coming up in our next segment, a Notre Dame hockey recap. Good weekend for the 15th-ranked Fighting Irish as they swept Wisconsin. Tyler Horka, Notre Dame beat reporter for Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com, will join me live at 8:35 for his take on the Irish win over Virginia. It was a 28-3 Irish victory. Notre Dame now 9-1 on the season. Brendan Armstrong, the all-everything quarterback for Virginia, did not go, which obviously affected the storyline in this ball game. Jay Wolfolk, the freshman quarterback, played. Did okay, but the Cavaliers just could not generate anywhere close to the type of offense that they have throughout this season, averaging 542 yards of total offense, just 278 with Wolfolk at the helm Saturday night. After the contest, the head coach of the Fighting Irish, Brian Kelly, caught up with the voice of Notre Dame football, Paul Burmeister. This interview on the Notre Dame Radio Network, heard on WSBT Radio.
Cone's ready for the ball as he sets up in the shotgun.
And obviously we're having a little computer issue right there as that cut did not come out as we expected. That was Paul, actually, but doing a little play-by-play. Well, the Irish put together a great performance, and Braden Lindsay was highlighted by Brian Kelly. In the soundbite I was going to play for you, but Lindsay, 3 catches, 23 yards, and a touchdown. He rushed one time for 31 yards on an end-around. And the touchdown by Lindsay occurred in the second quarter with Notre Dame out in front, 7-0.
Cone from the shotgun. Waits for the snap. There it is. Fakes the run, now looking, throws. Braden Lindsay, 10, 5, leaps into the end zone. Touchdown, Notre Dame!
Well, Lindsay, again, had 54 yards of total offense, but Brian Kelly was first to point out that Lindsay had a really good game for his football team. And for his efforts, Lindsay met the Notre Dame media in Charlottesville after the contest. And one of the first things he talked about was that second quarter touchdown catch.
Going into the week, Coach Reese dialed it up. He saw a look. He thought I'd, you know, if I got past the first couple defenders, that I'd probably be on guard, and that's what we got, and I was able to capitalize. But credit to him, he called that probably Monday or Tuesday.
Braden, I think your reverse probably maybe the biggest highlight player, like the most spectacular play you made. But Coach Kelly was talking about you made a lot of gritty catches. It was a gritty performance for you. What led to that? Why do you feel like you played that way?
Yeah, I think just going into the week when you lose a leader like AD. And just someone, you know, who's put up a lot of good numbers, you know, has been a great player for us. It was definitely harped on to, you know, be more focused on what we do. And, you know, we don't have as many chances. You know, obviously the score doesn't reflect it, but we were going in thinking it was going to be a shootout. So in my mind, I was, you know, prepared to do everything we could, you know, each snap, because we don't know, you know, what could happen. And I just think that's the culture at Notre Dame. It's pretty normal, I feel like.
You and Lorenzo are going to have a competition of your own reverses better now. So you guys bring some runs?
I don't think it'll be a competition. I think it's more like complimentary. I mean, I got one, he got one. I think it was a place for us both to get the ball. So, you know, it's exciting to see him make plays like that.
Yeah, what have you seen from his progression throughout the year?
Yeah, no, Young's though. He's definitely just, you know, really confident dude. I think speaks for all the freshmen where you've seen in the past, freshmen haven't always played, and they've put themselves in a situation where not just, you know, themselves, but everyone around them feels very comfortable with them going in. So, you know, as much as it sucks to see Avery down, you know, there wasn't a doubt in my mind that they'd be able to pick up, you know, what we've been missing. And I'm really excited for them. They work really hard every week, and they clearly can play at a high level. So I think they're going to be fantastic, all of them.
One of five scholarship players remaining right now, healthy and eligible for this Notre Dame football team, Braden Lindsey. Well, let's try it again. I'm not going to give up. Here was that post-game interview, Paul Burmeister with Fighting Irish head coach Brian Kelly.
Head coach Brian Kelly. And, Brian, we're in this nice spot post-game once again where you can lead with the offense or the defense. Which side is your headline?
Well, anytime you've gone two games in a row without giving up a touchdown, I think you start with your defense. Now, you know, obviously they had to, you know, battle at times, but I thought it was a good performance in particular. I thought Ramon Henderson played great, covered the ball, covered downfield extremely well. I thought Riley Mills gave us pressure. You know, we were out, you know, four of our captains. You know, Drew White didn't play for us. You know, Myron didn't make it off of the flu list either. We were hit pretty hard. We had 12 guys with the flu this week.
Wow.
And we had to battle through that. We had to battle through another team that had a week off. But these kids, they don't care. They just they shake that off and they just keep playing. So pretty proud of what they overcame on the defensive side of the ball.
Offensively, Brian, on that side, you've really established this pattern where Jack Cohn is efficient. He's over 70 yards or 70% completions.
Yes.
But it's led by the ground game. They pick up 249 yards that way tonight.
Yeah, you know, obviously running the football is key for us. It just sets up everything else. And when you get, you know, when you get a Michael Mayer, you know, obviously what he did tonight was pretty special. But I think Braden Lindsey, even though he only had three catches, the things that he did were pretty impressive. He had the run, but you know, he had some key catches for us. The touchdown catch was a big one. The one that he picked up the PI on was really big. He was a guy on the perimeter that you know, really stepped up for us tonight. Kevin Austin, obviously the big catch as well. So the big time guys, you know, step up in these moments, and really proud of them.
Five consecutive wins for your guys, Brian. Enjoy it, and we'll see you next weekend in South Bend.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Paul Burmeister with Brian Kelly. And as a play-by-play broadcaster myself, what I took away from those comments, you could hear the huh in Paul Burmeister's voice and his reaction when Brian started mentioning about a bunch of players being under the weather. Obviously, the broadcast team was not tipped off that several of the players on the team were dealing with the flu or an illness. So I guess that's the one thing that was surprising to me, that the Irish broadcast team wasn't even tipped off that this was going to be a storyline in this football game. Well, I always offer five guarantees on Friday for the matchup that would occur on Saturday, and a couple of the guarantees aren't applicable because Brennan Armstrong, the quarterback for Virginia, did not play. So what we can go with, I attempted to guarantee that Lorenzo Styles would have over 80 receiving yards in the game, not even close. He had one catch for 4 yards. I should have known better. The slot isn't targeted as much as some of the other wide receiver spots. Now, he was targeted 4 times, but only one catch. I also attempted to guarantee that Notre Dame would run for 200 yards for the second time in 3 games. That played out. The Irish with 249. And I had both quarterbacks, Armstrong and Cohn, throwing at least 2 touchdown passes. Armstrong didn't play. Cohn had 3 in the ball game. The Irish will take on Georgia Tech at Notre Dame Stadium this Saturday, 2:30 kickoff on WSBT Radio. Great weekend for Notre Dame hockey. Bigger weekend coming up this week. All the details on the way as we talk some Irish hockey on SportsBeat AM from Sports Radio 960 WSBT. 21 minutes after 8 o'clock, 32 degrees on this Monday morning. You've tuned in to SportsBeat AM on your home of the Fighting Irish, Sports Radio 960 WSBT, streaming live at WSBTRadio.com. Well, the Irish hockey team entered last week ranked number 15 in the country, having won two consecutive games and preparing to take on a Big Ten foe at the Compton Family Ice Arena, the Wisconsin Badgers. Well, the Fighting Irish on Friday picked up a pair of goals from Max Ellis. They scored two power play goals, their first power play goal scored since October the 22nd. And Notre Dame scored the final five goals of the hockey game and defeated Wisconsin 5-1. We move to Saturday. Notre Dame was looking to win their season-high fourth consecutive game.
Lieberman, high slot, down low, Sililoff, he shoots, he scores! Sililoff got the puck at the near side post. 3 feet from the goal, drug the puck to the forehand, and he rips it over the top of the goaltender, Cameron Rowe. Another power play goal for Notre Dame. 1-0 Irish, 12:34 to go in the first.
Well, the Irish had three power play goals scored over their first nine games. They had three power play goals this weekend. It was the sophomore Sililoff picking up that power play goal, his second, from defenseman Nick Lieberman and sophomore forward Ryder Ralston. Time of the goal, 7:26 of the first period. Notre Dame 1 and Wisconsin nothing. Leading into this game, when Notre Dame scores first, they are 6-0. So a good omen for the outcome of this game. Later on in the first period, each team had a player in the penalty box, so we were skating four aside.
Ellis digs it out, right point Blackman, left side Lieberman, skates to the circle, takes a shot, he scores! Lieberman beats the goaltender short side, over the blocker. The defenseman Lieberman scores his third of the year. It's a four aside goal. 2-0 Notre Dame with 46.9 seconds to go, first period.
Now that's a big goal late in a period. That's always kind of a backbreaker for the opposition. Lieberman picks up his third from fellow defenseman Chase Blackman, the grad transfer from UMass Lowell. And Notre Dame's leading point man, Max Ellis, picked up the secondary assist. 2-0 Notre Dame going to the first intermission in the second period. Notre Dame had the opportunity to sort of deliver a knockout punch to this Wisconsin hockey team.
Left point, Karasek takes a shot, wide left, rebound, Landon Slegger tips it. Second chance, Hunter Strand scores at the far post. Rebound goal. Notre Dame has a 3-0 lead with 1 minute to go in the second period.
Good-looking freshman center from Alaska, Hunter Strand, is third of the year from Landon Slaggart and Jack Adams. And at the 19-minute mark of the second period, 3-0 in favor of the Fighting Irish. And that would be the final score. Matthew Galita, the grad transfer from Cornell, posted his second shutout of the year, his 22nd career shutout. He is now tied for third all-time in Division I history with those 22 shutouts. It was a 22-save performance, and Galita is now 7-1 on the year. The Irish have won four in a row. They are now 8-3 overall, 2-2 in the Big Ten Conference. And coming up this weekend, a trip north of the border to take on the arch rival, the Michigan Wolverines, who are ranked number 2 in the country. They feature three of the top five draft picks in last year's NHL draft, led by defenseman Owen Power, who was taken number 1 overall. Matthew Beaners and Kent Johnson also taken in the top five. So this is a very talented Michigan hockey team. They've already lost to Wisconsin this year, a team the Irish just swept at the Compton. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Notre Dame and Michigan from Ann Arbor, Friday night at 7:30, Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Both games can be heard on the Notre Dame Radio Network, including right here in South Bend on Z94.3 FM. can't beat Notre Dame and Michigan getting together in any sport. It's always great on the ice. In fact, I think it is the best of all the matchups in terms of quality of play. Teams always ranked. It is as good as it gets in college hockey. It is 8:26. I'm Darren Pritchett. Stand by. More Notre Dame football talk coming up with Tyler Horkin in just a couple of moments on WSBT.
This is Sports Beat AM, featuring a conversation with Blue and Gold Illustrated Notre Dame football beat reporter Tyler Horka.
Well, Tyler was in Charlottesville for Saturday night's Notre Dame victory over Virginia, 28-3. You can check out all of Tyler's writing and commentary at Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. Tyler, let me start you off with just a thought on the Fighting Irish defense. They have not given up a touchdown in two consecutive games. Now, to be fair, Brendan Armstrong didn't play quarterback for Virginia, so that's a factor. But at the same time, I know totally different schemes that Notre Dame has faced the last 2 weeks. But what has impressed you about Marcus Freeman's unit the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think they've really kind of rebounded from those games against USC and especially North Carolina. They did a pretty good job against USC, but North Carolina, I think some people were scratching their heads saying, what's going on? Why is this team giving up over 500 yards of offense? And that was just a case of a really good player having a really good game in Sam Howe. The last 2 weeks, they've been really good in their assignments. I mean, you hold Navy to under 200 yards of offense, one of the five best games defensively during the Brian Kelly era. And in this game against Virginia, you mentioned Brendan Armstrong not playing well. I think Ramon Henderson said it after the game. He's like, well, no matter who's playing quarterback, we still have to play defense and we still have to do a good job. And the Notre Dame defense did that. You saw, you know, three starters technically out, Kyle Hamilton missing his third straight game and Drew White not being able to play because of the bug that went around the locker room, and Myron Tagovailoa-Samoa with the same thing. So in step a couple guys. Bo Bauer had the best game of his Notre Dame career. Mentioned Henderson. He had a really good game, recorded his first interception. So you're seeing a lot of guys have really good individual performances, and they're playing really well together as a team as well. So it was an awesome defensive performance. Obviously, anytime you hold a team to 3 points, it's really good. And I think they did a really good job against that freshman quarterback.
The start of the year, we heard that versatility was going to be very important for the Irish defenders. Another example, how about Riley Mills' performance on Saturday?
Yeah, he was awesome. And Brian Kelly joked in the postgame press conference that maybe he's going to be a defensive end permanently moving forward. He's lined up in the middle for most of his Notre Dame career, all of his Notre Dame career to this point. But he's just really hard to block. And, that goes for guards, that goes for tackles. I think he just is a savvy pass rusher. He showed that in getting a couple sacks. And it was kind of that freshman quarterback's worst nightmare to see a guy like that who probably you don't really prepare for if you're Virginia, because you've got so many other guys on this Notre Dame defensive line that you have to worry about. But when Myron goes out, in steps Riley Mills. And I think he's probably the future for Notre Dame as a pass rusher, considering Isaiah Foskey might be gone after this year to go to the NFL. You've got a lot of seniors along that defensive line. Riley Mills just kind of flashed what he could be for, in a Notre Dame uniform. And I think that's probably going to be the case the next couple of years, at least next year for sure.
He is Blue and Gold Illustrated's beat reporter, Tyler Horka, joining me on WSBT Radio. Well, let's talk about the Irish offense for a couple of moments. And Tyler, very early on in the season, the Notre Dame offensive line did not meet the Notre Dame standard that has been set so high by previous offensive lines. How far have they come the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's been an awesome turnaround. And I think that's the main reason Notre Dame is 9-1 right now. And started the season 4-1, and at that 4-1 point, you look at a couple of those games, could have lost to Toledo, could have lost to Virginia Tech. The offensive line wasn't great in either of those games. And, in the 5-6 games since then, it's been an awesome turnaround. Notre Dame averages 6.6 yards per carry on Saturday against Virginia. I know Kyron Williams only has 70 yards, and Tyler Buchner only carried it three times for 10 yards, but you look at the team total, 249 rushing yards. I think most teams are going to take that. That's kind of a Notre Dame number right there to get around 250 rushing yards. And that's a testament to the offensive line. And Most of those guys across that line are playing really well right now. I think Kyren Williams is having fun playing football again those first five games. The locker room will tell you that Kyren Williams always has fun playing football, but when you're averaging 2-3 yards a carry, that's not very fun for anybody. So the offensive line steps it up. He averaged 5 yards a carry against Virginia. He's averaging 5 yards a carry for the entire season. I don't think anybody thought that would be possible in those first couple weeks of the season. So it's just a testament to the offensive line. And, Jack Cohn's dropping back, and I know he's getting the ball out quicker now in the last month and a half or so, but he's not getting sacked very much anymore. Virginia didn't have one sack in this game. There was a time in this Notre Dame season where you'd expect the opposition to get three, yeah, four, five sacks a game. So all in all, across the line, it's really helped this offense come together and just playing very efficiently and effectively.
Two-part question for you, Tyler, about the Irish running backs. Now, Chris Tyree, of course, had been dealing with turf toe. So my first question is this. Do you feel like Logan Diggs has passed Tyree on the depth chart and it's not injury-related with Tyree? And part two is just how much depth is there in that running back room?
Yeah, a lot of depth. Obviously, we haven't even really seen Audric Estime except, in those goal line tight end packages that he comes in. So I think he's a guy that a lot of fans were excited for, and we haven't even seen him as a ball carrier. So to the Logan Diggs and Chris Tyree thing, I think it had to do a lot with the injury. Obviously, when Chris Tyree goes down with turf toe, somebody else has to step in. Sebo Flemister has been dealing with a few things this season. So the next guy to turn to was Logan Diggs, and he's done a phenomenal job. He runs for nine times for 64 yards against Virginia. He'll take 7.1 yards per carry every single time. Mm-hmm. He's just been really reliable. Obviously, he scored a couple touchdowns this year. It's kind of sad for Chris Tyree because everyone thought that, Kyren Williams and Chris Tyree was going to be that 1-2 punch, but his injury kind of shook things up, and Logan Diggs came in. He did well. He's still doing well. I don't know why you would turn away from that if you're Brian Kelly and Tommy Rees. So I do think that he's kind of become the clear number two. It's obvious in terms of numbers, and it's obvious in terms of snap counts and situations in which those two guys are playing. So I think Chris Tyree has every opportunity in the world over the offseason to kind of maybe even regain that number one mark if Kyren Williams goes to the NFL like everyone thinks. But if you've got Chris Tyree and Logan Diggs next year, I mentioned Audric Estime. I think the freshman that Notre Dame has coming in and Jadarian Price from Denison, Texas is really good. I actually saw him play in August, and he's been running for 200 yards and a lot of touchdowns pretty much every game in his senior year down in Denison. So Notre Dame's doing a really good job with the running back room, that's for sure.
What if the Irish track and field team has put in a call to see if Diggs can run track and maybe run some hurdles? That was a heck of a run by Diggs there in Absolutely. Charlottesville. Tyler Horka covers the Irish for Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. Tyler, coming into this football game, only 5 scholarship wide receivers ready to roll. 3 of those were freshmen. We expected only 2 of them to play. Now, it didn't turn out to be a game that it was going to be a shootout where you had to score 40 points to win the ball game. Your assessment of what the Irish got out of the wide receiving core when they threw the football to them on Saturday?
Yeah, I think Notre Dame could probably get a little more, obviously. Kevin Austin had 3 catches, Braden Lindsey 3 catches. Lorenzo Styles gets his first start in the slot after Avery Davis goes down with his ACL injury, and he's targeted 4 times and only makes 1 catch for 4 yards. Obviously, you'd like to see a little more there, but they get Styles involved on the end around, and that goes for 30 plus yards. They get Lindsey involved on an end around, that goes for 30 plus yards. So I think they know what they have in a thin wide receiver room, and they're trying ways to get those guys involved. And I mentioned Austin and Lindsey only having 3 catches. Well, one of those, for each of them was a touchdown. So I mentioned the word efficiency earlier on. I think that's been the name of the game for, specifically the Notre Dame wide receivers. You're not going to see these guys like some of these wide receivers that Notre Dame has faced on the other side. USC's Drake London and UNC's Josh Downs, David Bell earlier in the year. Those guys are trying to get 10 to 15 catches a game, go for 150 yards and maybe a couple scores. Notre Dame doesn't really have one of those guys, but they do have guys that they can rely on to catch a touchdown here, catch a touchdown there, make a big play. You know, we've seen that from multiple Notre Dame wide receivers. You'd always like more. You know, you want these guys to have huge games and, you know, get game balls and all of that. But if they're scoring touchdowns and they're making plays and Notre Dame is winning by 25 points, I don't think there's anything to complain about.
Georgia Tech has lost four in a row. Phil Jurkovec went nuts against the Jackets last Saturday in a 41-30 Boston College win. He had three rushing touchdowns and two passing touchdowns against the Jackets. Do you think Georgia Tech is much of a threat to Notre Dame this Saturday?
I don't. Somebody on our message board posted the initial point spread. I think it was 14.5. I don't know where they got that number, but I told them, if you're a betting man, hammer the Irish and that. It's just, I guess I'll speak to that. It's almost like you wish Georgia Tech was 7-3 and not 3-7. You wish Stanford was 7-3 and not 3-7, because, you know, here Notre Dame is with almost a cakewalk path to finish 11-1, and it seems like they're still going to be on the outside looking in at the college football playoff. And that's unfortunate for Notre Dame, because I think this team is playing really well and could finish 11-1 if they were playing tougher opponents down the stretch. But you can't control what your schedule does. And no, I don't think Georgia Tech is a threat to Notre Dame this weekend. But that being the case, you know, Notre Dame's going to win, you know, their 10th game for, what would that be now, 5 years in a row, 10-plus victories. Testament to Brian Kelly and his staff, what they've done these last five seasons, especially after that 2016 season, they've really turned it around. And this is, you know, one of the five best programs in the country year in, year out.
Currently, Notre Dame favored by 15.5 over Georgia Tech at Notre Dame Stadium. Tyler, finally, how would you assess the chances for Notre Dame to sneak at least into the playoff picture over the next couple of weeks? You laid it out perfectly. You wish the Irish were playing some teams that would give them a little punch that the committee would take note of. I mean, what is the best win for the Irish? Probably against Wisconsin right now. So as you assess Notre Dame's playoff chances, what would you say to Notre Dame fans right now?
Yeah, you just like seeing Oklahoma lose to Baylor this past weekend. You just need more of that. Obviously, you want Michigan to lose. You want all of those one-loss teams that are ranked ahead of Notre Dame in the college football playoff rankings right now to lose. So Notre Dame fans should be watching other games across the country as much as they're watching Notre Dame in these last 2 weeks of the regular season, because, you know, chaos is the word. You need some crazy things to happen for Notre Dame to rise from number nine and knock on that number four door. So obviously the first two things are beat these inferior teams on the schedule the last 2 weeks. But after that, you're rooting against Ohio State. You're rooting against Oregon. You're rooting against teams like that. And Cincinnati's the weird one, because, you know, if Cincinnati loses a game, do they drop behind Notre Dame when they have that head-to-head component there and Cincinnati won? And, I mean, that'll be 2 months to the point when, you know, these decisions are being made, and Notre Dame's might be a better team right now than Cincinnati, but it'll be interesting to see how they play that. And, you know, and then if Cincinnati wins out, it's probably impossible for Notre Dame to move past Cincinnati. And then you're looking at teams like Alabama and Georgia, and you're saying, how do we move past, you know, any of these teams? So chaos is the word, Darren. You need a lot of crazy things to happen, and you definitely need that 11-1 mark.
Well, hopefully Ohio State can clean out Michigan and Michigan State from Notre Dame's pass in the next couple of weeks. Hey, Tyler, what will Irish fans find right now at blueandgold.com?
Yeah, definitely. You know, if you want to get your last dose of Patrick Angle and I's coverage from Charlottesville, we did a lot of things from there. That's all up there on blueandgold.com right now. Brian Kelly's, you know, speaking at noon, so we'll have plenty of coverage from that. And then the rest of the week leading into the Georgia Tech game, a lot of really cool features, analysis, breakdowns of what Notre Dame has done so far this season and what we expect them to do the last couple of weeks here. And I can't believe it's already mid-November. Yeah. There's snow all over the ground outside my apartment window right now, and just a couple games left in this regular season. It's crazy.
You're officially a resident of South Bend now that you're living through a little snow, that's for sure. Tyler Horka, he is the Notre Dame football beat reporter for Blue and Gold Illustrated. Check out his work at blueandgold.com, and he joins me every Monday to recap Notre Dame football in their most recent contest, and we'll try it again next week after hopefully a win over Georgia Tech. Tyler, great job in Charlottesville this weekend. We appreciate your time this morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
Awesome, Darren. Good to be back on with you. Thanks.
You bet. Thank you so much. He is Tyler Horka, and he covers the Fighting Irish for Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com, 849 at WSBT.